Lars.
Frank, welcome to the Lars Larson Show.
The government should live within its means. That's
Frank,
the essence of conservatism.
What would you cut?
I wouldn't spend $300 billion on a wasteful war.
How would you change regime in Iraq?
I'd refer you to the CIA.
No, I'm asking you, what is your suggestion? Oh, Frank, you total coward. You are like most of the tinfoil hat Kool-Aid drinkers. You are scared of your own shadow. Thanks for the call. You'll make another great promo.
Lars Larson. Lars.
Diane, welcome to the program. Thanks for listening in Fort Myers.
I have not seen one shred of evidence, hard evidence, that there is such a thing as Al-Qaeda.
Hold on. You haven't seen any evidence
no,
of Al-Qaeda?
No.
Planes in the buildings in New York City? Well, who do you think is doing this?
I think Woodward.
Diane sounds like she's a potential Democrat voter.
Lars Larson.
So it's the second bombing attack in London.
All right, Brad, we're on in 1 minute.
Tell you what, those British know how to keep a stiff upper lip. Guess what's happened? They've got the bad guys in custody. The four bombers, though, that did the attack 2 weeks ago, they're on the run. But we know who they are, we know what they look like. This is a lesson for Americans. We've got to maintain the same kind of resolve here to win the war on terrorism.
Lars Larson.
We're talking to Sean O'Keefe, the former administrator of NASA. Is Discovery safe to fly home?
Based on everything they've picked up so far, it sounds like there's a pretty high degree of confidence that it is.
And if it's not, the plan is to have the astronauts wait on the space station until Atlantis could launch?
That is one option. If you can't figure out a way to repair the shuttle, then everybody hole up on the International Space Station and wait for the rescue mission to come up and get you.
Lars Larson.
I anticipate a deeply religious experience.
Broadcasting live across the greatest country in the world, the Westwood One Radio Network. Here's Lars.
Welcome to the Lars Larson Show. My pleasure to be with you. It is 6 minutes. No, it's 7 minutes after the hour. I'm glad to be here. 866-509-5277. The telephone number, toll-free and nationwide. You can stream the show free of charge at LarsLarson.com or send me an email, talk@LarsLarson.com. It gives me great pleasure to welcome to the program to continue a discussion about what's going on in Louisiana, Alabama, Mississippi, New Orleans, and places around. Mr. Brad Friedman of BradBlog.com. Brad, how are you doing?
Very well. How are you, sir?
I'm doing very well. Now, people would describe me as a conservative. People would describe you as a progressive.
Right? That sounds about right. Yeah.
Now, listen, I took a look at your blog, and I said to my producer, I said, you know what? We like putting both points of view on here just to illustrate to people just how far the Kool-Aid can take you, if you will.
But all right.
We want to know from the point of view of people who want to blame this whole mess in Louisiana on the president and Chertoff and FEMA and everybody else instead of Mayor Ray Nagin, who ignored his own evacuation plan and ran out of town. So make your best case, sir.
Well, look, I don't want to blame anybody. You're a conservative, and I think you'd find that I'm a lot more conservative than you probably suspect. And my understanding of conservatives is that they take responsibility and that there is accountability. And
yes,
what's
sir.
Happened here is that Bush has taken absolutely no accountability so far. This has been a pattern of his, of course, for years. I would love to see if, in fact, he takes the accountability and the responsibility where he should. You know,
okay, it's like one of those sentences without a subject in it. Accountability for what?
All right, well, let's start with 2003 when, in fact, he cut from the budget for the Army Corps of Engineers, the project to shore up the levees down there. he cut some $70 million from what was requested and what was needed to fix those levies. Now, we know
Let's bounce this pen back and forth just so the audience hears both sides.
Sure.
Okay, the cuts actually happened in the Corps in 01, long before the war, so tying it to the war doesn't work. Number two, is it the responsibility of the federal government to build levees between a lake and a city? The river, you could argue, is a federal avenue of commerce. The lake is not. Now, there are federal grants for just about everything and your brother, but I don't know that it's the federal government's job. But number three, the parts of the levee that broke, I hope you get this detail in your blog, are actually the most recently upgraded parts that broke. So they were brand spanking new. If the problem was they weren't upgraded, these were the upgraded sections that broke.
Well, my understanding, and I'm somewhat shorthanded here because I'm actually traveling across the country. I'm on my way back from Crawford, so I'm somewhat in the middle of nowhere and only able to check in on my own blog. I've got guest bloggers doing the bulk of the stuff over there. But my
You're not riding with Cindy Sheehan, are you?
I am not with her now. I was with her last week, though.
Oh, well,
happy to talk to you about her, too. Good luck. In any case, in 2003, my understanding, is when the money was diverted from that project. Now, that was an Army Corps of Engineers project. Now, if you wish to argue that it shouldn't have been the Army Corps of Engineers project in the first place, that's another matter. But this government determined that those waterways were under the purview of the Army Corps of Engineers. And what they had requested to fix this was cut back by some 70%, as I understand, or from, $70 million. And again, I'm not in front of my computer, so I hope you'll work with me here.
No, I will. And in fact, I make mistakes like that. I work off. I got tons of notes, and I read a lot. But here's the problem.
Yeah.
We can argue whether or not the federal government should be involved in local things. The federal government wants to get into everything, and local governments love federal grants. It's like having a rich uncle somewhere. But the fact is that the parts that broke were the new parts. And here's the other thing. When you say diverted, I've been hearing people say, well, they diverted all this money for the war. How do we know they didn't divert it for No Child Left Behind, where funding increased in 03? How do we know they didn't divert it to pay for that new prescription drug program? How do we know they didn't divert it? Why is it that it's always diverted for something liberals hate and conservatives appear to like?
Well, because that was the newspaper reports in 2003 when this occurred. Now, if I was, usually I like to have those facts right at my hand so I don't have to guess and I can make sure that we get it right. But my understanding is that the newspaper reports in 2003 spoke about that money going to Homeland Security and to the war in Iraq.
But see, the thing is, as much as all of us taxpayers would like them to label all the dollars and say, when you move one of the dollars, you got to tell us where it moved from and to, they don't. The Congress appropriates money. By the way, the president cut the Corps of Engineers budget. You know, I thought the Congress actually appropriated the money, don't they?
Well, actually, in this case, I'm not sure how it worked because the Army Corps of Engineers, this particular project may have come under the Department of Homeland Security. Remember, a lot of the departments moved under the Homeland Security
Department. Oh, I know that, Brad, but you got to remember, Congress appropriates all money. The president doesn't appropriate. The president writes a budget, but Congress actually writes the appropriations bills. So if it got cut, it got cut by the people's representatives.
Well, I'm not sure about that. I know that in any case, I'm quite certain that Republicans control Congress. Nonetheless, if their budget for such projects fell under the Department of Homeland Security, then they may be able to determine where their money goes for their project. Now, remember, Department of Homeland Security had themselves specified as the three most crucial projects to look at: a terrorist attack in New York, an earthquake in Los Angeles, and a hurricane in New Orleans. Now, you may, as a conservative, feel that the waterways should not be under the purview of the federal government, but my understanding of...
Well, not all waterways.
Well, right, but my understanding of conservatives, I mean, you have a town with millions of Americans living below sea level, and projects like that, in fact, you know, that are that enormous, cannot be run by a city.
Why not?
I think you know
No, but
that.
Why not? If they say they needed $250 million to finish the levees, if they bonded that out, and cities bond roads and highways and all kinds of things all the time, it would have been about, over 20 years, $10 million a year divided by four parishes, about $2.5 million. It's like any other physical structure you build in a city to provide for public safety.
Well, my understanding is when the Army Corps of Engineers moves in and takes control of a certain waterway or a shoreline, that is theirs. That is now owned and run by the federal government.
Well, and that's true of rivers. The only thing is Lake Pontchartrain is a Louisiana lake. It's the state of Louisiana. But let's go to another issue. You talked about
personal
responsibility.
Well, if they were on there, I'm sorry. I just wanted to say, if they were on there, if the Army Corps of Engineers had control of that waterway, whether you liked it or not, if they have control over it, then it's them and it's their project, and that money comes from the federal government. And when it's cut, someone needs to take accountability for that. And when this was something that we knew about years ago, I think there just needs to be some accountability.
Well, do check on what parts were upgraded. But let's try another tack, and then we'll take some phone calls after the break.
Sure.
You're talking about personal responsibility. FEMA says to every state in America, if you call us for help in a big, huge emergency, 48 to 72 hours is what we need. Local
right.
emergency planning by the Red Cross and civilian authorities, everyone in America, they tell people you should be prepared to take care of yourself for 48 to 72 hours. People were told on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, there's a hurricane coming, you've been through them before, be prepared to evacuate, have 3 days' worth of food and water on hand. It's as simple as filling up your bathtub. If you're squeamish, you swab it out with bleach first, or taking water out of your hot water heater and having a few cans of, chili or something, Dinty Moore stew in the cupboard. That's all you got to have. So as poor as you could be in America, you should have 3 days of water, which is a quart for each adult. It's like basically two big milk jugs full of water and a few cans of stew. These people came to the shelters with nothing.
Lars, a couple of things here. First, Governor Blanco called for a state of emergency and went through all of the procedures that she needed to do to enact to get FEMA moving on August 28th. That was Sunday. And that letter I saw it this morning before I hit the road again, is on her website. And I believe it's on FEMA's website as well.
But the mayor didn't evacuate his city.
Well, he called for evacuation, actually. Yes, he did. Now, I don't know if it was a mandatory evacuation, but he was all over the airwaves. As a matter of fact, I even heard this on Rush Limbaugh today. A caller calling in from New Orleans who agrees with Rush Limbaugh said, I'm sorry, Rush, you got it wrong, but Ray Nagin was all over the airwaves.
He got on the air and said you should all leave, but he didn't tell people you have to leave. And here's the other thing he didn't do. For all the people without transportation, his own evacuation plan written 5 years ago, and refreshed last fall after Ivan, said we'll use school buses and city buses to evacuate people. One trip with the buses available in New Orleans would have carried 22,000 people out of town, even if they didn't come back for a second load. You know where those buses are sitting right now?
Well, yeah, I know that you guys have been showing photographs of buses in a parking lot underwater and so forth.
Yep.
But again, my understanding is that, in fact, folks were told exactly where to go, which staging areas to get to, so that the buses could pick them up.
But here's the thing. Ray Nagin never said, hey, folks, put some drivers in those buses and move them out of the lot. And he could have done that on Friday, Saturday, Sunday, or Monday.
Well, I don't know about those ones on the lot, but I'm telling you that my understanding from the folks that I've heard and the folks that I've talked to in Louisiana is that they were told specifically where to go to get to buses, to get to the Superdome. Now, you guys are on the right, and I like you, Lars, but you're looking for it sounds like, other than George W. Bush, and I would ask you.
Here's what I'd say. I'd say your responsibility is to take care of yourself as much as possible. When you can't do it, the next level is the city, the next level is the state, and the city and state didn't do diddly for these people. And what happened was they then said, hey, why didn't the federal government do it? And the federal government, I'm looking at it saying, I don't want the federal government to do everything. That's Russia. I want our local and local city governments to do the majority of the task. It doesn't look like Ray Nagin did anything except get a few tourists out of a downtown hotel.
Well, look, when Hurricane Andrew hit, George Bush Sr. had 25,000 National Guard folks on the ground before the thing ever hit. Andrew Broussard, the Jefferson Parish president, spoke about trying to take care of himself, but FEMA made them keep out the diesel fuel trucks. Walmart water trucks were there. FEMA said that they could not bring them in. The Red Cross was trying to bring in food. Once again, FEMA said they could not bring them in. The communications were actually cut by FEMA, and Andrew Broussard restored it and put armed guards on it because they couldn't communicate. They couldn't get out after FEMA cut this.
FEMA was on the ground. But, Brad, let's take a break.
Like right off the bat. And I would just like to ask, if Bill Clinton was the president, would you guys be talking about the fact that guys need to take responsibility?
Absolutely. But here's the thing. All of that is after the fact. The fact is Ray Nagin did not put food and water in the Superdome for the people he knew were coming there. That Superdome on Saturday, tell me that guy couldn't have picked up the phone, called the local grocery store chains on Saturday or Friday when they knew the storm was headed their direction say, I need half a dozen trucks full of food and water in that dome, and I need citizens to come to the dome with at least a couple of days worth of water in their hands. We'll come right back. We got Brad Friedman on of bradblog.com. We'll take your phone calls and emails at 866-509-5277.
Lars, you've got a phone. You've got a voice. Call Lars now. 1-866-509-LARS.
Hey, Brad.
Yes, sir.
You're a smart guy.
Well, thank you, sir.
But I got to tell you, some of this is just timeline. All the stuff you're talking about is after FEMA got on the ground and down there, which, as the complaint was days later. What I'm talking about is leading up to the actual storm arriving on Monday morning and why resources weren't in place, and then the immediate aftermath. You know, I would bet you $10 right now that after the storm hit Monday, that they didn't have anybody driving up and down those levees watching for potential breaks to catch them early, because I live in a place where we have levees as well against big rivers like the Columbia. And when you've got high water conditions and storms, you have to watch them. And what you do is you put people in a vehicle and you drive up and down the length of the levees. Now, I think there's about 40 miles of levees down there. So you put two or three people in cars and you drive up and down and in a truck with sandbags and stuff in the back, and when you see any leakage or excess water, you get on top of it fast, because if you get on top of it, the leak stops.
Well, that may be true, but that's speculation, and
it's not speculation to say, I know the levees broke, and I know that if somebody had been watching them, they didn't realize they'd broken.
We don't know that they weren't there. That's speculative, and you may be right, but you may be wrong, and they may have been all over them, because I heard as soon as the levees broke, I started hearing news
that
the levees had broke.
No, but here's what you didn't hear. You didn't hear, you know, in other words, in all the reporting I've read, I expected to see some mention that they spotted some weak areas and got on top of them but were unable to stop it from breaking. What I saw was, gee, the levees have broken, and now we're going to go and try and fix them, which is, you know, after the horse gets out of the barn.
Well, there was failures all over the place. There's no question about it. But, you know, but I know exactly where George W. Bush and Karl Rove were on Tuesday night after the levees had far from broken. And I've got pictures of I was about, 20 yards away from where Karl Rove was and where George Bush was strumming his guitar. And these guys need to take accountability for something, for anything.
But for what? I mean, in other words, it was George's fault that the levees broke. It was George's fault that a decision was made to build the levees to a Cat 3 standard. In other words, I live in an area, too, where we have earthquakes.
The Cat 3 standard had nothing to do with it.
No, it did. It did, though. The levees were built to a Cat 3 standard.
I understand that.
So they knew that if they could have built them to a Cat 5 standard. It would have cost a ton of money more.
But that's not what took down the levees. It wasn't the category. The hurricane had already passed.
No, I know, but it was a Category 4 storm that hit. So if you have... It's like if you build your buildings to withstand a 6 on the Richter scale, and you have a 7, chances are the buildings are going to come down. Now, you could say, well, why didn't we build to an 8? Well, because it costs a whole bunch more money to do that.
Well, George Bush cut the funding.
Hold on. George Bush cut the funding. Do you know who editorialized against that Corps of Engineers bill, saying it's a bad bill, science says it's not a good idea to spend the money this way? None other than your Bible, the New York Times.
Well, that's not my Bible.
I know. I'm just giving you a hard time because you're progressive. I love giving you guys a hard time.
Yeah, isn't that where Judith Miller works?
But I think she's on leave at the jail today.
Because
she broke the law.
Yes. Well, good. I'm glad to see her in jail.
Huh?
Not a problem. glad to have her in
Shouldn't
jail.
Criminals be in jail?
Yes, and I hope Karl Rove joins her there.
What law did Karl break?
Well, it seems as though he has outed a CIA agent for the first time in American history that
no.
a White House has ever done that.
You got to pay attention to this. Remember that Valerie Plame, to be an undercover operative, to be an undercover operative, you have to have been out of the United States within the last 5 years. She hadn't been outside the United States in 6 years.
You're wrong about that.
Huh?
You're wrong about
no,
that.
No, I'm not.
Yes, you are.
Here we go. Here we go. This is too much fun.
reminds me so much about the weapons of mass destruction issue in Iraq. When no weapons were found, the administration said, well, we don't have time to look back. We got to keep looking forward. Congress, Republicans in Congress and Democrats unanimously said, no, no, we have to find out what went wrong. I expect the same to happen here.
You know, they're going to wish for that commission to investigate, but they may be unhappy with the results they get. Welcome back to the Lars Larson Show. We're talking about who's wrong in the hurricane situation. Whose response was it that didn't get done in time? And, of course, the emergency goes on right now. Brad Friedman is with me of bradblog.com. Brad, how would you describe yourself professionally before we go to these phone calls? What is it you're doing for a living?
I'm a citizen investigative journalist.
Very good. And we're glad to have you on. I'm a journalist as well. And we're taking your calls at 866-509-5277. In Chesterfield, Missouri, here's Harvey. Harvey, welcome to the program. You're on with Brad Friedman.
Hi. Thanks. By the way, I've been listening to your show over the Internet, which I do occasionally.
Thank you, sir.
And I agree with both of you that there's plenty of blame to go around. What I can't understand, and maybe one of you can explain this to me, I heard Mr. Bush specifically quoted. Matter of fact, I heard Bush, I heard Chertoff and
gotta get to it,
the other fellow quoted as saying, nobody could possibly have expected a breach in the levee. Now, that is what I call avoiding taking responsibility.
I'm going to get Brad's comment on that. Harvey, I appreciate the call. You comment, and I'll give you my thought on it. Go ahead, Brad.
He's right on the money, of course. No one could have possibly seen it, much as no one could have possibly predicted that people would fly planes into buildings. I mean, we hear this over and over from this administration for years, and, you know, they got it wrong. They got it wrong now. They got it wrong in 9/11, and rather than copping to it, rather than holding anybody accountable or responsible, they simply try and pass the blame, and then they give folks the freedom of the Medal of Freedom, like George Tenet after he left.
Hold on, so, Brad, yeah. But let me try this on you. Tuesday morning. Mm-hmm. The hurricane has passed. It did a lot of damage, but it looks like we dodged a bullet. And that's what every newspaper said, including the local ones down there. Can you cite for me anybody there? Was the mayor quoted as saying Tuesday morning, well, the hurricane didn't get us, but we've still got to worry about those levees? In other words, I don't think the president wasn't saying the levees could break. Of course he knew that. You just finished saying that he cut the budget because he decided they didn't need the money to upgrade the levees. They all knew that the levees could break in a big storm, but even the local newspapers weren't, or local officials like Nagin and Blanco weren't saying, boy, we missed, you know, storm didn't do too bad, but boy, those levees might still break.
Oh,
nobody on Tuesday morning was expecting those levees to break Tuesday afternoon.
Come on, Lars. George Bush is the most powerful man in the world. He's been
You're dodging the question.
Give me the local official in Louisiana who said,
we're really worried about the levees breaking on Tuesday morning.
I can't do it because I was on the air all day Tuesday in Crawford, Texas, covering Camp Casey. So I can't tell you how it unfolded on Tuesday morning. But I do know that George Bush has been spending years telling us that he's keeping us safe and that the Homeland Security Department and the restructuring and folding in FEMA is meant to keep America safe. Now, Fox News themselves this morning said that there could be as many, a minimum of 10,000 dead.
Now it's
40,000.
Okay, but here's let me ask you this.
So is it George W. Bush's job to wait until someone in a newspaper reporter or Ray Nagin says these things might break?
Well, all I'm saying is
he oversees the Army Corps of Engineers that oversees those levees.
Now, Walter, Brad, I got to tell you, the first responsibility for safety is of each individual citizen. The second is their local government. Do you hold the people who decided to stay behind in New Orleans when they'd been told to leave responsible at all?
Well, certainly, but if they couldn't afford to get out, I don't hold the babies.
For the ones that couldn't afford to get out, you hold Ray Nagin responsible for not running those buses?
You tell me he didn't run those buses.
He didn't run them. They're sitting in a lot. If he'd said, get those buses running, haul people out of town, and stay out of town because the buses will get wrecked if you bring them back, he didn't even move them.
My understanding was that he did move them and that some 40 or 50,000 showed up in the Superdome that were taken out by those buses.
No, they were taken out by buses that were brought in from the outside. All those school buses, all those city buses just sat there in that lot and got wrecked.
Well, that's fine. I know that it makes a great photo op to show those buses, but the fact of the matter is what I'm hearing from the people on the ground, including Andrew Broussard, and you can go see the video over at bradblog.com, on Tim Russert on Sunday, you know, said that he, everything he tried to do, everything he tried to move, FEMA told him no, no, no.
That was after FEMA got on the ground. But that was Dave. Brad, will you want to stay with us? We got it. We're hard up against the clock. Stay with us, will you?
You got it.
We got Brad of Brad Friedman of BradBlog.com. Your phone calls are welcome. Boy, Walter's going to say, this guy is killing me. Well, he's killing me, too, but it's designed to illustrate both sides. 866-509-5277.
Lars Larson Show.
Hey, Brad. You are absolutely coming back on this show again in the future. You are fantastic. Don't go anywhere, okay?
Camped outside the President's Ranch in Crawford. Hey, Brad.
What's that?
The one thing you're going to have to separate is this timeline, because if you're going to blame FEMA for blocking stuff, that had to be after they were already there. But if you're saying they arrived late, you can't blame them for the stuff in the early going, because those buses would have made a difference either.
Oh, sure. No, sure you can.
Well, no, hold on. FEMA wasn't there on Sunday, right?
Don't know.
Okay,
my understanding is... She requested them on Sunday.
Okay.
And that's something that you guys have all been in
look at the website. FEMA says if we get a call for help, 48 to 72 hours is what we reasonably expect to get assets and resources on the ground wherever it's called for. A third of America right now has a FEMA emergency in it. A third. 15 states.
Right.
So when you call for FEMA on Sunday, it doesn't arrive Sunday. It arrives 48 to 72 hours later. So you can't very well say FEMA wasn't there till 3 days later, but we're going to blame FEMA for blocking stuff from happening on Sunday or Monday or Tuesday. When the buses would have done some good, please think about this and tell me what you think. If Ray Nagin had said, we got a storm on the way, it's going to hit Monday morning early, we need to bus people out Sunday night. Those buses should have been moving on Sunday. If they had come back after dropping the people off somewhere out of harm's way, then they could have come back and picked up another load on either Monday after the storm passed and before the levees broke, or Tuesday after the levees broke as the town began to flood. The buses didn't move.
Lars, well, the buses in the photographs didn't move. The buses that I heard actually did move. And you got to do me a favor. You tell me if George W. Bush and his administration and FEMA did anything wrong, because I've heard all day.
Listen,
hang on.
The president's not the most articulate person in the world or the most charismatic on many occasions. There are times
he was playing guitar in San Diego on Tuesday after that city had already flooded. So what?
Well, no, but...
The largest disasters in American history,
Hold on. The president is the president of the whole country all the time. And while there are certainly times where he focuses on one part of the country or another part of the country, depending on crises, he is the president of the whole country. And frankly, this whole business of, if Bush isn't there on the ground talking to people in person, then he's really not doing his job. That's like saying that if the CEO of Ford Motor Company doesn't walk down to the assembly line at least once a day and say, hey, guys, putting the bolts on straight, that he's not doing his job. The CEO's job is to run the operation. And I understand there's a certain amount of heart and soul that goes into, we want to see the leader on. And I like it when my boss comes down to the studio. He does. He comes down, talks with me, and I really understand that I can walk in and talk to him. But he can run the show very well from his office. And so can the president. So this focus on, when was the president where and whether he's playing guitar. Listen, every politician out there, everybody, where was John Kerry yesterday? Where was Hillary Clinton yesterday? I'm sure they were doing things that were frivolous as well.
I don't know and I don't care because I know that they haven't been running around the country for the last 3 or 4 years telling us how safe they're keeping us and how they've restructured the Homeland Security Department. Lars, there was three top security concerns for George Bush's Homeland Security Department.
And one was natural disasters.
Come on now.
Brad. The National Weather Service told everybody, and have you seen the warning they issued?
I saw it on Sunday night, and someone emailed me.
Oh, it was out early last week.
And I was blown away when I saw what they were saying Sunday.
But that's the amazing thing is that they put that out Sunday. I've been covering the Weather Service. I've been a reporter for about 30 years. Mm-hmm. And the Weather Service is famously conservative. In fact, predicting high winds takes like a sign off from the like next level of supervisor up. I mean, they aren't allowed to say anything extreme.
Right.
And that is the most extreme thing I've ever seen them say. So they issue the warning. Whose job is to react? One, citizens. It's their job to protect themselves first.
Yo, come on.
It is. We're 30 away.
Yeah. Save them for the air.
Okay.
Hold on.
Come on. You don't worry about it. We'll be fine.
I got
the judgment calls at the time. You're looking at the potential loss of life, rescue operations. You're also looking at trying to shore up the levee. This is an unprecedented disaster that was compounded by the breach of the levee, really the total collapse of the levee. And obviously, if you look back in hindsight, the military...
Lars, call Lars at 1-866-509-LARS, 1-866-509-5277.
You started dancing and it got real hot, and it spilled over to the parking lot. One more tequila, they were falling in love. One more deliverance.
Welcome back to the Lars Larson Show, 35 minutes after the hour. On the phone with us right now, Brad Friedman of bradblog.com, a self-described progressive who blogs and he broadcasts and he does other things. And we're talking about who's to blame down there in Louisiana in the Big Easy, where people took it easy enough. They said, I'm going to stay in my house and sit here. And, in fact, even after the hurricane comes and the floods come, there are people refusing to leave. Brad, let's take some more calls and see what the folks have to say, all right?
You got it.
866-509-5277. Email talk@LarsLarson.com. Charlottesville, Virginia. Walter, welcome to the program. You're on with Brad Friedman.
Good evening, Lars. Thanks for taking my call.
Yes, sir.
It sounds like this guy is so blinded by ideology, which it's insane. The mayor is first responsible. I lived in New Orleans. I was born and raised in New Orleans. Everyone knew at some point or another the city was going to flood because of a hurricane. They've been taught every time a tropical storm would come up in the Gulf of Mexico, they would always talk about the Category 5 that would come up the mouth of the river and flood the city out. Now, if Ray Nagin is going to tell people to go to the Superdome as a safe haven of last resort, he needs to make sure that there's enough water and that there's enough food for that amount of people.
What do you say to that, Brad? Walter, makes sense.
Sure. I mean, there's plenty of blame to go around here.
But answer the specific point. If Ray Nagin says go to the Superdome, he needs to have enough food and water there for the people he advises to go there.
Sure, but if he can't get the food and the water there, I heard somebody today, again, on Rush Limbaugh say that it would be the equivalent of Mayor Giuliani having to go up to Albany to run disaster management after 9/11 because
Saturday, Saturday. No, Saturday. They knew the hurricane was going to hit New Orleans. Saturday. The mayor picks up the phone, calls the head of the major grocery chains and says, look, boys, we'll work out the payment later, but I need that Superdome stocked with food and water now. He's got Saturday. He's got Sunday. He's got till Monday morning crack of dawn, which is normally when they stock supermarkets anyways, late at night. He's got 2 days to stock the thing with food and water. Does it happen? No. I'm not talking about after the storm hit. I'm talking about before.
If he can, and I've said over and over again, I mean, you guys, and I say you guys because I've heard, I've been driving all day across the country. I haven't been on the internet. I've been driving across the country, and I've been hearing every conservative talk show in America marching in lockstep with the exact same talking points trying to blame Ray Nagin and Governor Blanco. And fine, if you
isn't it their job?
It's also the President of the United States'
not
job
till the state,
to keep
listen,
America safe.
No, but hold on. Hold on.
Brad. For 1 second.
No, but Brad,
a
hold
state
on.
State of emergency was declared, and FEMA was requested to come in. Now, it took a week, Lars,
no, it didn't.
Before anything started
baloney.
Moving there.
No, baloney. The military And I saw Chris Matthews make an absolute horse's ass of himself on MSNBC, saying to some military guy, well, hold on, you know, why weren't you moving resources? He said, sir, we moved resources. We had resources on the move before the storm hit. Before Monday morning, the military's on the move. He's also a smart military commander in that he doesn't send his troops into the storm zone until the storm has passed. But they were already in motion. FEMA was in motion, but FEMA says on its website, 48 to 72 hours response.
And why was the Coast Guard and the Navy ships kept out? Why was a 500-boat flotilla kept out from coming in and bringing help? They had cots, they had food, they had water. Why? Now, you might tie it back and you might say, oh, this was a decision by Nagin. This was a decision by Blanco. I'm asking you, did George W. Bush do anything, Lars, wrong in handling this disaster that we may see 40,000 dead Americans? Does he take responsibility for anything going wrong?
Well, I think that he probably will, but point to me the specific thing tell me what the specific thing was the president didn't do, because if you say, did he order up the military in time? Well, they were moving before the storm got there. Did the president declare an emergency? Yes, before the storm happened. I'm not going off talking points. I don't believe it. I read newspapers, I read websites, but I do not do talking points.
So you saw all the officials in New Orleans, in Jefferson Parish, all throughout Louisiana saying, where the hell is the National Guard? Where are
Hold
they?
Hold on, the National
why
Guard is
here?
A local call. You and know why? That, right? The National Guard is called up first by local authorities. Did Ray Nagin and Governor Blanco not call up the National Guard on? They could have called the National Guard up Friday night and said, hey, boys, get to the armory, get your gear, and get on standby.
I understand, and they had some 8,000 ready to go. But
they didn't call them up till Tuesday when the levees broke.
For Hurricane Andrew, there was 25,000 standing by when the hurricane hit.
In a state run by a smart governor.
You could take the shots that you want.
No, I'm just saying.
You're avoiding the question.
Well, why is it that Haley Barbour did such a good job in Mississippi and Louisiana? Mississippi actually arguably took a bigger hit from the storm because of the way they rotate than Louisiana did. But
I understand that, but it wasn't the storm that took down New Orleans. It was the levees breaking, which is something that George Bush and Homeland Security Department knew about three years ago.
No, they knew that the levees could break, but the levees are the local responsibility. Tell me why Ray Nagin didn't call up Kathleen Blanco and say, hey, I need National Guardsmen stationed all along those levees because I believe they're going to break. You're asking that George Bush...
Do you know that he didn't, Lars?
Yeah, I do, because they broke. They only started talking about repairing them after they had broken and the gap had widened to 500 feet.
You're suggesting they should have gone out and...
I'm saying they should have had patrols...
...during a Category 4 hurricane?
After. Because the levees didn't break till Tuesday during the day. The storm was done by Monday night. On Tuesday, they could have had National Guardsmen out patrolling up and down, watching for possible levee breaks. I think Ray Nagin screwed the pooch.
You can have all the watching of the levees that you want, but there was a $70 million project that was cut...
Brad, let me remind you, the parts of the levees that broke were the ones that had just been upgraded. They were brand spanking new.
That's not my understanding, Lars.
Where I got that? I got it from the New York Times, which is one of America's great conservative newspapers. I get most of my talking points. You know, they're so darn conservative. They're at the Times that they say the parts of the levees that broke had just been upgraded. They were not the old levees. They were the new ones.
Thank you for noting that they are, in fact, now a White House organ.
Let's go to Sherry in Norwich, Connecticut. Sherry, you got to talk to Brad. Talk some sense to this boy.
Are you guys finished beating on each other yet?
Oh, it's too much fun, though. Brad's a good sport.
All right.
Yes, I am.
All right. I have two things. And, you know, Lars, you know I'm not big on the, you know, political stuff. But...
Everything's political.
Here's my gig.
Yeah.
Okay. Two things really stuck out for me over the weekend. First, I heard the head of FEMA on National Public Radio. Sorry. I do defect. And he denied up and down that the people at the convention center were denied food and water or didn't have it yet. He didn't know. So what did he do? He just said, they had it. Turns out...
You're talking about Chertoff or the head of FEMA?
They had a FEMA.
Okay.
Yeah, you know, the names escape me right now.
Michael Brown, I think was his name.
Yeah, okay. And he
had no idea.
He swore up and down. He swore up and down that they had food, they had water, they had everything they needed. They had air conditioning, they had showers, they had all this stuff. And go figure, it was because, you know, the NPR reporter had reported that, and they followed up and said, well, turns out that he just found out due to lack of communication. Granted, it was lack of communication.
Yeah,
I'll
but
give
that,
him
that's a problem.
But he was really happy to say, oh, no, they have everything they need, and he didn't even know. Okay, I have a problem with that. I also have a problem with, you know, and I realize that you understand also that our president is not infallible.
No, I don't think he is. And you hear me criticize him all the time.
But
Sherry, I got
to
tell you something.
He was taught to say everything was great, and then he backpedaled and said it was unacceptable.
Okay, but Sherry and Brad, I got to tell you something. You look in the back of my truck, I've got flashlights. I've got a case of water. I got some candy bars. I've got hiking boots. I have a winter coat. Because you know what? I assume that wherever I go, think something's going to go wrong, and I may have to get out and walk for a while.
So if people die, they die. It's their fault.
I am saying this, Brad. There were people in New Orleans who caused the death of their fellow citizens by saying, I could leave, but I'm not going to. I don't want to. I want to keep an eye on my house. All the right reasons, maybe. Or I just don't feel like it. They have storms all the time. They come, they go, and I don't have to leave. And so they decided not to leave. They decided not to put aside water, which is easy. You know, you can't plead poverty on water. It's practically free. And they've got a water heater full of it in most houses. Tell me that there was a house in New Orleans that didn't have a 50-gallon water heater full of clean water, and all these people going, we're out of water. How are you out of water? We've got 50 gallons in your hot water heater.
Listen, look, you and all of, I know it's a coincidence that you just happen to be saying the same thing that all the rest of conservative radio is saying today, because you don't listen to the talking points. That's fine.
I don't listen. I've got 7 hours of radio to do myself. I like Rush. I like Sean. I like all the other guys, but I don't have time to listen to them.
Well, yeah, but
I don't.
Perhaps I understand, but I have a feeling you may get the same email that they
get. I don't work off. I'm just telling you, I'm God's honest truth, Brad. Work off a talking point memo.
In any case, you can if it's just a piece fault, then I don't even know why you're having a discussion about this, because why
it's not just the people's fault.
If it's only the people's fault. Now, if Bush bears no, and you haven't said one thing about Bush bearing any responsibility here at all, and I have a feeling that it would be a different song if there was a different president in the White House like Bill Clinton.
Not true.
That said, 9/11, intelligence failures, he blamed the CIA. Iraq War, intelligence failures, he blamed the CIA. Katrina, nobody could have foreseen the levees breaking. You know, and now you guys are blaming the
mayor.
No,
that's not what he said. He said nobody thought the levees were going to break. Tell me that Ray Nagin was out, the mayor of New Orleans, on Tuesday morning before the levees break, saying, boy, folks, we missed the storm, but the levees might still break. Well, I'm just saying it's his job.
But you have no, Lars, you have absolutely no information to back up what you're saying.
Sure I do. We got a break. We'll be right back. Brad Freeman is with me, and we'll welcome your phone calls in a moment. You got the Lars Larson Show.
Lars, you've got a phone, you've got a voice. Call Lars now. 1-866-509-LARS.
Hey, by the way, I just got an email from a guy in Eric in Idaho.
Yeah.
He says GW's... He left it to the people in the several states to be responsible for themselves. He should have suspended the Constitution. So he's, in a way, agreeing with you, Brad.
Oh, nonsense.
Well,
whose
job is it to do public safety? It's local government firsthand. And in fact,
of course it is. But it's a national disaster, Lars. Come on.
Only when it's declared by...
You're a conservative.
Don't keep repeating that. Only when it's declared... In other words, a state could be in the biggest, baddest world. Hold on. Could be in the biggest, baddest world hurt. And you could look at it from the outside and go, wow, they need some help. But if that state believed it had the resources to handle it, they could say, you know what? We got it handled. We don't want the federal government's help. And guess what? Under our Constitution, they have the right to do that.
But they didn't do that. On Sunday, August 28th, Governor Blanco asked for every single FEMA trigger to go.
Within 72 hours, it was there.
It was not there within 72 hours, and you know that.
Yes, it was. It was. It was there within 72 hours, but if you ask for it Sunday at noon, you get it Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday at noon. By Wednesday at noon, they had FEMA resources. Now,
no, they
I will
did
tell,
not.
Yes, they did, but they had it. I will tell you that it was certainly overwhelmed because when they got there, they discovered everyone gone to the shelters with no food, no water, no supplies, no nothing, because they decided, you know, when I get to the shelter, I'm sure they'll have a big banquet table set up, and they'll have cold beer and a cooler for
you. You know, yeah, well, I like you, Lars, but I think you're being an apologist for the president.
No, you know what? I'm not even bringing up the president. What I'm saying is, I look at citizens and say, when you know there's a storm coming, I heard people on Friday, now do the math. Last I checked, there's 7 days in the week. People on Friday going, I've been 5 days without food and water. I'm thinking, you stopped eating before the storm got there? I mean, what caused you to stop eating and drinking before the storm even got there? Because that the water was still on until Tuesday when the levee broke. The power was still on in many areas. There was a lady who said, I didn't lose my gas till Wednesday. But people stopped eating on Sunday before the storm got there in anticipation of it.
It's a political game to you and to
No, it's not. It is not.
And
do not do that to me. Look, the reason I sound the way I do is because I am passionate about these issues. And if you ask my producer, I beat crap out of George Bush on a regular basis when I think he's wrong. But if you say, what was the president's job? To mobilize the military. Military was moving on Sunday. To let FEMA respond to the state's request, which they did.
You know what? But you're just not telling the truth about this stuff, Lars. They may have been moving, but they weren't in place.
But they were blocking. But your argument is they blocked all these things from happening, but they weren't there. Well, which one is it, Brad?
All right, stand by.
Here we go.
Here we go. Ready?
Here we go. Here we go.
Welcome back to the Lars Larson Show. Brad Friedman with us at bradblog.com. We don't mind giving you a plug there, Brad. We're going to bring on Warren from Anchorage, Alaska. Warren, welcome to the program. A question or comment, keep it brief.
Both of you guys are on the wrong track. This was a breakdown of capitalism. I was down in New Orleans. I was there Sunday. I was arguing with the airlines to stay in there at the airport to get some of those people out of there. Those airlines say, no, we getting out of here because we don't want to damage our airplanes. It's a breakdown of capitalism. I was there when they were closing all the stores because the people wanted to get home. They didn't have the time to be out there giving somebody else food. They wanted to take care of their own self.
Warren, thanks for the comments. Brad, tell me this. What specific thing do you think George Bush didn't do? Because I want to hear it.
Well, we know he didn't shore up the levees when his own Department of Homeland Security said it was one of three top top disaster risks in the United States. Cut the funding from that. He did not react quick enough to what was going on. Governor Blanco requested all FEMA triggers to go into effect as of Sunday night, 28th.
Did that not happen?
Apparently it did not happen because according to, once again, you can see the video at bradblog.com, Andrew Broussard said, the president of Jefferson Parish said that everything he tried to do, he was told he could not by FEMA. Now you've said on a couple of occasions here that we can't have it both ways, that FEMA wasn't there, and yet I'm saying, or that Broussard is saying, that they stopped him from doing such and such. The way it works, and I believe you know this, is that an advanced team from FEMA comes down to begin setting up staging areas and to organize things, and then the troops get there, whether they be National Guard, Army, FEMA workers, etc. They were down there, and they were saying, no, President Broussard, you cannot have these trucks from Walmart come in. You cannot have this food from the Red Cross. You cannot have this diesel fuel come in. We're cutting off his communications. Now, if Andrew Broussard is a liar, so be it. But I'm listening to the people on the ground. I'm listening to what people are saying there. I'm not speculating. And I'm not going to, you know, run around and make guesses about what Ray Nagin did or didn't do. There's plenty of blame to go around everywhere. I just find it curious that I have been unable to find a conservative talk show host the entire day who is willing to hold George W. Bush accountable at all.
I'm willing to hold him accountable, but if the military was mobilized, if FEMA was mobilized, there, you know, we're going to have to break. We'll come right back, Brad. It's 7 minutes before the hour. You've got the Lars Larson Show.
Lars.
Brad, see, I think a lot of these things about the communications mix-ups are side issues. I really do, because the central issue was FEMA trying to move food and water into the refugees, and the answer was yes. Now, I'll tell you what, I can just about guarantee you, and this is not our Republican talking points, and you're just going to have to take me at my word, that I don't do that. I read newspapers, and I read magazines, and I read books to prepare for it. I don't read some Republicans that are talking about it. But when you say, we all sound like we're on the same page, it's because we live in a physical world that has certain realities about it. And if I say, if I drop my coffee cup, it's going to fall. Rush may also say, I dropped my coffee cup and it fell. And you say, gee, you guys operate in the same universe. And you say, yeah, we operate in the same universe with the same common sense and the same physical laws.
But here's the deal.
I imagine that there probably is some kind of logical explanation. And I'm not reaching here. I've covered so many forest fires and this and that, and you get people going, look, just let me take my truck down this road. And they're saying no, and there's a reason for it. Now, it may be that some guy was told, stand at the end of this road and don't let anybody go through. And he doesn't have good communications with the supervisor, so his supervisor can say, well, of course, when the Red Cross gets here, let them through. He was told, stand at the end of the road, don't let anybody through. So you're asking me to believe that somehow, maliciously, FEMA showed up and said, what's the way we can best deprive 10,000 black people of a cold drink of water?
Don't put those words in my mouth.
But then tell me why you believe that
40,000 people may be dead, Lars. Where does the buck stop? I think, honestly, it does stop.
It stops first with local authorities, because if the local authorities had done their jobs, if they had mobilized transportation, if they had said the police are to go door to door or go through neighborhoods and say mandatory evacuation, if you do not leave, you will be arrested. I think they got a lackadaisical attitude about it, just like a lot of the residents did. That the water will come up and then it'll go away. We've been through this 100 times.
That's fine. Keep that in mind, because if a Democrat ever is able to outsmart the voting machines again and become president, I'm going to hold you to that.
You assume that I believe that whatever the Republicans do is right.
All right, gentlemen, we're back in 30 seconds.
Hey, we're back in 30.
Stand by.
Welcome back to the Lars Larson Show. You know, a lot of people wonder why I bring somebody like Brad Friedman to Brad Blog and bradblog.com. And it's because I like having people come on with the opposite point of view. And then people listening, conservative, progressive, whatever you want, communist, whatever you want to call them, get a chance to hear both points of view. And I think a good, solid intellectual debate like this, Brad, usually brings out the best in both of us and really irritates the maximum number of people.
which leads to good radio.
Listen, I mean, for example, I'm frustrated right now. The state I'm doing this from, Oregon, where I'm normally home-based at KXL in Portland, we're deploying National Guard soldiers to Louisiana. You know what the morons who are running Louisiana have, and the National Guard is under the control of the state of Louisiana, they have said, your National Guard guys will come down and help us. They will be allowed to bring guns, but they must keep their bullets in their pocket. The Barn Fife rule, I kid you not. They are going down there to what has become a free fire zone, but being told, carry a gun, which makes you a target, because the bad guy assumes you'll shoot him with it if you catch him doing something bad, but you have to keep your bullets in your pocket. Now, tell me you think the brain trust running Louisiana has any gray matter left.
No, well, I mean, you can complain about him going down to Louisiana. I wonder if you're complaining about him going to Iraq, but as
no,
far
no,
as...
No, I'm complaining about them going somewhere without being able to use a gun, which is what they're trained to do.
Well, then could they complain to your president, George W. Bush, because
they're not under George W. Bush. They're under the control of the state of Louisiana. I bet George Bush would say you could use his gun.
Well, you're wrong, because I've been speaking to vets all week for the past 2 weeks, and after 9/11, and then months after 9/11, these guys were called in to guard military installations and were marching around with rifles without bullets in them. And I'll give you the names of the guys who were doing it. So this is nothing new. And, you know, what I started to say before the break, Lars, I'm from Missouri. That's where Truman was from. He's the one who said the buck stops here. And I'm asking you, as a conservative and your listeners, who used to call for accountability and personal responsibility, where does the buck stop in this country anymore? Sure, there was all kinds of mistakes made on the ground, but 40,000 Americans are now possibly dead, Lars. And whose responsibility is there? Does George W. Bush take any responsibility for that at all? Does he take any responsibility?
Listen, let me give you the last 10 seconds, Brad, of this. The responsibility falls locally, because if you expect somebody to save your life with a FEMA response time of 72 hours, it ain't going to happen. Brad Friedman from bradblog.com. You can email me, talk@LarsLarson.com.
Lars. Larson. The Lars Larson Show from Westwood One.